If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me for just a moment's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read this passage and then I want to make some comments, not in the exposition of any particular portion of the Word of God, but on a subject matter I think by way of meditation may be helpful for us when we consider remembering Christ's death and some of the benefits that can be gained from our remembrance of Christ. But before we do that, follow, if you will, as I read the apostle's account that he gives to the Corinthian church. Now, the church had made a serious error in their use or their participation or their using the Lord's Supper. And so he makes a critical statement concerning them and then gives them that practical instructions that we read so often. Chapter 11, verse 17, 1 Corinthians. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now, as I said, I'm not going to expound a particular passage. I'm using this because it's the direction that I find my thoughts have entered for the subject of meditation prior to the receiving of the supper itself. Now, in order to give somewhat of an introduction to what I'm going to be saying tonight, which will be very brief, let me say this. Prior to this time, in this particular service, many of you may remember, I spoke on subjects having to do with this. First of all, I spoke on the value of remembrance. The value of remembrance. Certainly, there's value there if the Lord himself has ordained this. So the value of remembrance. Secondly, I also looked at help to see the value of remembrance. And knowing your memory, if it's like mine, you don't remember that. But nevertheless, it was said, and maybe some things will come to your mind. Thirdly, I said reasons why we may not receive benefits from the Lord's Supper. And we looked at a number of those. Now, tonight, what I want to do is come back to somewhat of the same subject, and then I want to look at benefits from the Lord's Supper. Benefits from the Lord's Supper. So that's the subject, benefits from the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it, and I'll tell you what I said. First of all, the benefits from the Lord's Supper. I'm going to look at it with two different points. Number one is how we may know whether we receive benefits. How we may know whether we receive benefits. In order to understand this, I'm going to bring some mistaken judgments that can be ours in understanding benefits that we can receive from that. There are four of them. And then secondly, we'll just look at some real benefits that we can get from remembrance of Christ at the Lord's Supper. So my purpose has been, prior to the supper, you have already had some time in the Word of God in thinking of the death of Christ. We have spent some time in the reading of the Scriptures concerning that. Now we'll look at some of the benefits from the Lord's Supper. How can we know whether we receive benefits from coming to the Lord's table? We come on a regular basis, here every month. Sometimes it can be almost a ritual with no real value. And we sometimes, and some of us, are eager saying, "How can I receive? And how can I know that I am receiving benefit from the Lord's Supper and the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order for you to know whether you receive benefits to your soul by coming to the Lord's Supper, I think you must be careful that you make a correct judgment. A correct judgment. In order for you to know that, there are some areas of misjudgments, and they will hold you back from seeing the benefits that your soul can reach. So, we're going to look at some misjudgments. In order to prevent from making these misjudgments, these wrong judgments, let me give these four principles to help us. Number one, be careful that you do not conclude that you do not have any benefits at all because you do not have as much as you think some other Christians have. We make judgments on what we think other people are getting from the Lord's Supper, and we think that I am therefore not getting any benefits because we have judged we're not getting the same benefits someone else has. I think you may remember 2 Corinthians 10:12, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church and making comment that they were measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, and that they were not wise. So the idea is they don't make our judgments on the benefits we receive simply because we don't think we're getting the same benefits that other Christians are getting. The reason for that is because the understanding and discovering of God's benefits to His people are arbitrary. They're not specifically always the same. They are discretionary. They are independent of each other. They are in individual judgments that God Himself brings to us as individuals concerning them. And many times these benefits are very gradual. So don't conclude that you're not receiving any benefits from the Lord's Supper simply because you're not getting the same benefits that you think other Christians have. You see, the benefits that God gives comes when He wills, to whom He wills, and to the degree He wills. And we need to remember that. So make sure that judgment is clear in your mind. So don't conclude that you do not have received any benefit at all simply because you have not as much as you think others have. Secondly, be careful that you do not think that you do not have any benefits at all simply because you do not have as much as you hoped to get or expected you would get. We must be careful that we don't make the judgment on what we think we must get or we will get. That's not a correct judgment. You see, you may be aiming at too much and found just a little. But if you got a little, then you must be content with that and not say you didn't get any benefit at all. There are times when we will get far more than others and times when we will get less. So make that judgment clear in your mind. So first of all, Don't make a judgment that you do not receive benefits because you don't get as much as other Christians, you think other Christians have. And secondly, do not make a judgment that you do not receive benefits because you do not have as much as you hoped you would get or expected you would get. Thirdly, and we're talking about the misjudgments, be careful that you do not conclude that you have received no benefits at all because you do not have it in that particular kind of benefit that you were looking for. Let me illustrate that. It may be that you aimed for a great deal of comfort and joy coming to your soul because you remember of what Christ did for you. That's the goal you had when you came. But God may have denied you that and made you full of sorrow and to be broken more for your sins. And this is a spiritual benefit that He gives to you. So be careful you don't make that wrong judgment on that. The spiritual benefit that God gives you in this way may not be the kind that you look for, but is what God gives to you. So be careful about that judgment. First of all, be careful that you don't make the judgment because you don't have as much as you think other Christians have. Secondly, be careful that you don't make the judgment that you receive no benefit from supper because you have not gotten or not received what you thought you should have or expected to have. And thirdly, don't make the judgment that you do not receive benefits because you do not have the particular kind of benefit that you thought you would get. Fourthly, our last principle to help us in not making a wrong judgment. Be careful that you do not conclude that the Lord's Supper does not do you any good because you do not perceive it in the very act of receiving the supper, or while you are actually in the time of remembrance of Christ. to not have that benefit is sad, and it is uncomfortable when we come to the supper and all that we thought we would get is not there. But we must be careful and not limit the efficacy or the benefit of the supper itself and the remembrance of Christ only to the time of receiving the supper itself, but rather take note how it works with you after the supper is passed, the benefits that come to your own soul. It may be that sometimes you may mourn more for your sin or rejoice more after that the supper is gone. So be careful in making those judgments. So four principles that I thought I wanted to present to you in areas of misjudgments and the benefits you receive from the Lord's Supper. First, don't conclude that you do not receive any benefits because you do not have as much as you think other Christians have. Second, don't make that false judgment because you do not have as much as you hoped to get or expected you would get. And thirdly, be careful you do not conclude that you have not received benefit because you do not have that particular kind of benefit that you were looking for and expecting to get. And then finally, be careful that you don't make the conclusion that you do not receive good from the Lord because you do not perceive it at the very time of the Lord's Supper. All right, those judgments, number one, point number one. Point number two, we're going to look at some real benefits. What are some of the real benefits that we can receive from the Lord's Supper, from remembering Christ's death? Now, what I'm trying to do here is to resolve some questions and perhaps doubts about receiving real benefit. Real benefit from the remembrance of Christ by considering some of those real benefits that you may get from remembrance of Christ in the Lord's Supper. And I have six of them, so that you know how long, and again, they will be very short. But six real benefits that you can receive, and hopefully, in some degree, some at various times, will come to you as you are thinking of Christ's death for you. First, number one, a real benefit is found when you find your heart more strongly engaged in an inward and an outward holiness. A real benefit is when you find your heart engaged in an inward, in your own consideration, meditation, your consideration of yourself, and an outward expression of holiness to the world and those who see us. This is when your heart is more compelled to walk with God, and there are some limits, and more care that you give to your conduct in life. One of the real benefits that should come from our receiving the Lord's Supper. You remember the passage in Ephesians chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul is talking about the grace of God and the condition of our conversion from sinners and brought into the saints of God by grace. And in that context, in the reality of our salvation, which is pictured here, of course, in the supper, he has these words, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So one of the benefits that's important that we should receive and can receive is that our hearts are more strongly engaged in an inward as well as an outward holiness. Number two, secondly, a real benefit is found when you find your faith is increased. What I mean by that is you can rely upon Christ more because you have participated in the remembrance of Christ. Your faith is increased. You are able to fix your trust like you couldn't do before. Now you can. And it's because you remembered Christ and what he has done for you. So a real benefit comes when you find your faith is increased. Now I know when we come to the supper, we have purpose to take the Lord on his own terms, to hear what his word says and to believe his word. But when you come away from the supper and your purpose is more settled in what he means to you as a Savior, and you are more resolved in trusting and following him, that's a benefit that comes from the remembrance of Christ. You live with eternal concerns, the eternal concerns of your soul in your mind, because you remembered Christ. You participated in the Lord's Supper. The testimony of the saints in Thessalonica was that their faith toward God was gone out so that they did not need to say anything. They increased in faith. And that's one of the benefits that come from the Lord's Supper. So first of all, a real benefit is when your heart is more strongly engaged in an inward and an outward holiness. Secondly, a real benefit is found when your faith is increased. When you can rely upon Christ more and you sense that, you know it, because of what you did in remembering Christ. You fixed your trust like you didn't do before in Christ. It's a real benefit. Thirdly, a real benefit in the supper is when you find your love for Christ increased. Your love for Christ increased. It is in the remembrance of Christ that this love for Him is inflamed. The more you see Him and what He did for you, the more you realize what an awful price He paid, the more you realize that His death was your life, and you'll love Him more. How often do we pray and say, Lord, we love You, but we do not love You as we ought. We want to love You more, and we need to love Him more. And I think until the very day He takes us into glory, that love is going to increase, and it ought to increase. And so one of the benefits is that in the remembrance of Christ is our love is increased. You remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 84? He says these words, and I think they are striking and ought to be growing in our own hearts. He says, how lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's love for God. One of the benefits, a real benefit for a Christian's participation in the Lord's Supper is an increase of love for God. Now, it is true that you loved Him before you came to the supper, but now you love Him strongly. There's something that has increased because of remembrance of Christ. Your soul, in the sense, as the psalmist said, is sick when you sense that He's absent from you. And when you sense that He is next to you, you find great satisfaction. That should be a result or a benefit that comes in our remembrance of Christ. And of course, this is when He dwells more in your thoughts than He did before. A real benefit. So first, again, for your memory, when you find your heart more strongly engaged in an inward and outward holiness, you find a benefit that comes from the supper. Secondly, when your faith is increased, you find yourself fixed more than you did before. You rely upon Christ more, and you have that peace that's there. Thirdly, real benefit in the supper is when you find your love for Christ increased. And I truly believe that when we take the supper and we think of the death of Christ, His body broken, His blood being shed, and we recognize all that it means to us, and you'll find that your love for Him will increase. That's a real benefit that we should experience. Fourthly, a real benefit in the supper is when you find a real sense of communion with God. A special communion with God by the means of the supper, the remembrance of Christ. This communion with God is when God truly meets with you. Now, I'm talking, we say communion. What do we mean, having communion with God? There's a lot of aspects of that. Well, what I'm referring to is this special relationship, this harmony that is there between you and God. You know what harmony, what a beautiful sound harmony is, when things unite together and it's right, it's pleasing. Well, a benefit of communion with God is when there's that harmony. There's that identity that we have with God as our Father. We are kinship, have a kinship with Him. We are adopted sons of God. There's that communion, that agreement, that like-mindedness, that oneness, that friendship that's there. And that is one of the real benefits that comes when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. The supper benefits you and does you good when you find that grace of communion, when there's that increase and the moving of your soul toward God. Now, all of us have a real sense, if we are Christians at all, about the conflict of our own wicked nature and the perfect holiness that God is. And when we think of having to deal with God and facing death, there's always this strain that stands between us. But when we come to the supper and remember Christ's death, there is that benefit of communion, of closeness with Christ. that is ours because of our remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the great benefits that is there. What that is the Spirit of God breathing in your soul and in a very real sense informing you and giving you evidence and inspiring your mind and affections and giving you confidence with God. And that's a benefit that comes when we remember Christ's death. You see, there is in this remembrance powerful influence, powerful influences that affect your soul. And that's what it ought to be. And I believe that's what He has ordained for to be in our continual remembrance of His death. So again, number one real benefit is when your heart is more strongly engaged in inward and outward holiness. Secondly, when you find your faith is increased and you can rely upon Christ more and you find your trust is fixed on Him like it never was before. Thirdly, real benefit comes from the supper is when your love for Christ is increased. I love Him. And we can tell Him that with more sincerity. I love Him. And then fourthly, real benefit in the supper is when you find that special communion that comes when we remember His death. Fifthly, there's two more. We'll be done. Fifth benefit is that of the benefit that results from your participating in the Lord's Supper and the remembrance of Christ is that your spiritual delights and your joy in God and in the Lord is increased. That spiritual delights and joy in God. Joy in God. And there are times when our joys are not fixed upon God. We don't have that joy. Well, the supper, one of the benefits from the supper is that we have this delight in God, this joy in our Lord. You see, before, it may be that you found your real delights, and I think you can understand this now when I say this, your real delights were very much in the world. This is where your heart was delighted in. This is where you felt joy in the world. It may be in your friends. It's in the contact you have with other people or with somebody. That's where your joy is. That's where your delight is. Or maybe it's in the possessions and the things that we have. And God is so good to us and given us so many riches today. And we find ourselves often, that's our joy. That's where our delight is. Well, one of the benefits of the Lord's Supper is that our delights are now in God. It's in our Lord Jesus Christ and what He means to us. It's one of the benefits that comes from the Lord's Supper. And so after the supper, in the participation, we delight and joy more in Christ and less in the world, less with our friends, less with our riches. But our joy is in our God and our Savior. Paul says it right, and we ought to heed it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's where our joy should be. And the supper, one of the benefits from the supper is to have that joy come to us. When you think of God now at the remembrance of Christ, you can truly rejoice. You have a sense of joy. When you speak of the Lord Jesus in reference to Him, you have a sense of overcoming, having victory over your sins, having a relationship because we've prevailed with God through Christ's death. There is that true sense of peace and joy in God. So first of all, we found that there is a benefit that comes from our hearts being more engaged in an inward and outward holiness. Secondly, when our faith is increased and we're more fixed upon our trusting Him. Thirdly, we find our love for Christ increased as a real benefit. Fourthly, a benefit is having our communion with God, true communion with God. Fifthly, we said we can benefit as a result from the supper with our spiritual delights and our joy being in God and not in this world. And finally now, a benefit which may result from the supper is when you find your soul under the sight and sense of sin more deeply humbled. It is an experience that only true Christians truly know. When we know the reality of our sins and our hearts are truly humbled before God. We often hear preaching that comes from the pulpit and having to deal with the reality of what our sin is, how serious it is. But when we think of what has happened in Christ, to Christ, in our behalf, and we sense something of the awfulness of our sin. So it's a real benefit when our souls are humbled because of remembrance of Christ. And it ought to be. It ought to be. It's something we ought to eagerly anticipate and even appreciate as the benefit that comes from the remembrance of Christ. Here, of course, you don't have that sense of joy that comes from the supper in remembrance, but instead you have a more sincere sorrow because of your sins. In this, God has done you good. You have received benefit from the Lord's Supper when that is the case. When you cannot come away with a rejoicing heart, but instead you come away with a weeping eye because of your sins. That's a benefit that we can get from remembrance of Christ. And this comes from a truly contrite spirit. And in this we need to thank God for His mercy in this supper. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, You will not despise. Six benefits. I said them a number of times. You remember them? Let me repeat them. A benefit that you can receive is when your heart is more strongly engaged in an inward and an outward holiness. When your faith is increased and you rely upon Christ more than you did before you came. When your love for Christ is increased. You love Him more. When you have a communion with Christ, you can speak to Him with a consciousness that He's hearing you, and you have a relationship to Him because of Christ and what He's done for you. And then fifthly, your spiritual delights and your joy is truly in God and not in this world. And finally, a benefit that comes from the remembrance of Christ is when your soul, under the sight and the sense of your sin, is deeply humbled before God. And you're willing to literally slouch down in the seat, fall on the floor, bow before His presence as a humble sinner before a gracious God who has saved you. All right, that's the points I wanted to make with you. I have just one more thought before we come into the supper itself. And I want to speak specifically to those of you who are children tonight. Those of you who are children, and those of you who are young people. And those of you who are adults who yet have not made open confession of the reality of your sin before God and your need for the Savior. You have heard numbers of times from this pulpit preaching that tries to reach your soul into the necessity of understanding how guilty you are before God. And the appeal has been made to you, come to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the prayer of your parents for you. That is the prayer of your pastors for you. If you have not yet come to Christ, committed the fact of your knowledge of your sin before Him and your need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. In light of that kind of preaching, understand that the Bible is very clear when Jesus says, "Come unto Me. Come unto Me, all you who are labor and heavy laden." If God, in some sense, has given you some knowledge of the reality of you as a sinner before God and your need of such a Savior as this we have demonstrated here, then you can come to Him because He calls you to. He wants you to. He will receive you. That's what He says. And if, in this sense, God has given you that light, in the light of this which is made for Christians, but you have that sense in your heart, and you can honestly say that you can deal with God in that light, then tell your parents that God has dealt with you. You know you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Tell them. They'll be delighted to hear that. And then tell the pastors, one of the pastors, that God has dealt with your heart. You know you're a sinner. You want to turn from your sin and you want to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our prayer. That's the invitation of the gospel to your souls. May God help us to respond to His great calling, His great gift of the Lord Jesus Christ.